So now we're going to examine some of the language patterns which make communication persuasive and attractive. And these will also unveil for you the underlying structure as contained in Winston Churchill's Iron Curtain speech. Let's take a look at the various language patterns. If you'd like to follow along, this is in your manual under the Milton model. The first pattern is called a mind read. A mind read is simply claiming to know the thoughts or feelings of another without specifying the process by which you came by the information. So the statement, "I know that you're wondering," is a mind read because you have no way, you're not specifying how you know that the other person is wondering. I know that you're wondering. Yeah. The second type of language pattern is what's called a lost performative. Lost performatives are simply value judgments where the performer of the value judgment is left out. An example would be if I use the sentence, "And it's a good thing to wonder." Okay, we're not saying who says it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Sales training is a good thing. It's a good thing to spend time with your family. It's a good thing to be in a monogamous relationship. All of these statements are lost performatives. So the question is, according to who? And we're not stating that. By the way, in Churchill's speech, Iron Curtain speech, when he said, "For with this primacy of power is also joined an awe-inspiring accountability to the future," that is a lost performative. The question is, according to who? So he's actually using a lost performative there. The next type of language pattern is what's called cause and effect. And a cause and effect is where it's implied that one thing causes another. We talked about this briefly when we touched on presuppositions. So a cause and effect, or an implied causative, is any type of if-then statement. If you go, then you'll produce the results that you want. In trance, you might say, "As you go deeper into a trance, then you can feel more relaxed." So those are both cause and effect statements, implying that one thing causes the other. And once again, Churchill used this also in his speech. He said, "As you look around you, you must feel not only the sense of duty alone, but also you must feel anxiety lest you fall below the level of achievement." Very clearly a cause and effect statement. So as you look around you must feel, all right? As you're listening to this, you must feel the intrinsic ability to step up in your life and produce results far beyond what you previously thought you were capable. Okay, that's a cause and effect. Complex equivalence, where two things are equated, where we're saying their meanings are equivalent. This is number four, complex equivalence. So the fact that you're listening to this means that you're going to make changes in your life. That's a complex equivalence. The fact that you're sitting there means you can go into a trance, in hypnosis, we might say. We might say that in hypnosis. So a complex equivalence is equating two things as having their meanings equivalent, right? And the very fact that you're listening to this means that you're going to get it easily. You're going to understand it and you'll be able to utilize it in your life. That's a complex equivalence, equating two meanings as being the same. How about a presupposition? Let's talk about presuppositions. Presuppositions we discussed before. A presupposition is the linguistic equivalent of assumptions. So you are learning many things. There's many presuppositions in the sentence that I just utilized. We can utilize the presuppositions or the assumptions in our language in a way which is very hypnotic. In fact, there's presuppositions or assumptions in just about everything that you say. It's hard to utter a sentence without presuppositions in it, but when you begin to become conscious of the presuppositions you can use them with volition for impact. The next one, number six, is a universal quantifier. A universal quantifier is a universal generalization, such as if you were to say, "And all the things," every time you listen to this audio series, you'll find that you get it at deeper levels. That's a universal quantifier. Every, any, all. All people who listen to this series find that they're able to make changes in their life. All of those things are universal quantifiers, can be used to induce trance. You can utilize them purposefully to use your language in a way which is enticing. Number seven is a modal operator. Modal operators are words which imply possibility or necessity, and they also form our rules in life. You can learn. One can learn. You have to learn this, or you need to learn this. Need to, have to, can, want to. Those words are modal operators. By the way, Winston Churchill used quite a few modal operators in his speech. In fact, people who are fabulous orators really are masters of using modal operators. Winston Churchill said, as you look around you, you must feel not only the sense of duty alone, but you also must feel anxiety. Must is a modal operator. It implies necessity. Bill Clinton used this pattern as well in his State of the Union address during his impeachment. At one point, he used a mind read followed by a modal operator of necessity when he said, and I think you would agree, that's a mind read, and I think you would agree that America is stronger because of it. You also have to agree, that's a modal operator of necessity, that all those differences you just clapped for all too often spark hatred and division even here at home. So you have to, you must. All of those types of words are modal operators. Okay, the next one, nominalization. A nominalization is a process word which has been frozen in time by making it into a noun, such as relationship. A relationship is the process of relating, but we freeze it in time by masquerading it as a noun. Okay, you can think of a nominalization as anything that can't fit into a wheelbarrow. Like a telephone is a noun that can fit in a wheelbarrow. But a relationship, you can't fit into a wheelbarrow. An insight or an understanding, you don't put in a wheelbarrow. Relationship is a nominalization. Love is the process of loving. Both of those are nominalizations. So let's look at unspecified verbs. Unspecified verb is simply a verb that isn't linked to anything else. A statement such as, and you can you not? It causes you to wonder what the verb relates to. And that can be hypnotic. A tag question is a question added after a statement designed to displace resistance. So for me to say, and you can understand that, right? What that does is it ties somebody down. A tag question ties them down in terms of whether or not they're with you. And that makes sense, right? And I don't use tag questions all the time, don't I? I mean, you've heard me use them before, haven't you? Those are tag questions, aren't they? And you can utilize them easily, can you not? So tag questions are fun to use, aren't they? And what I want you to do is practice your tag questions, because those will really assist you in becoming a masterful communicator as well. I mean, you can understand that, right? Okay, let's move on to the next one, which is lack of referential index. A lack of referential index is simply a phrase which doesn't pick out a specific portion of the listener's experience. One can, you know. It doesn't say who can or who specifically can, so one can. That's a lack of referential index. It doesn't tell you who it's talking about. A comparative deletion is where a comparison is made and it's not specified as to who or what it was made. And it's more or less the right thing to do. That's a comparative deletion. It's more or less the right thing. Compared to what would be the question. And it's more or less the right thing to do. And it's better to do it that way. Both of those are comparative deletions. Would it be best if I just came tomorrow around 2 o'clock? That's a comparative deletion. Best compared to what? All right? The next one is pacing current experience. This is one of my favorite hypnotic patterns or persuasive patterns. This is where the clients or the person who you're communicating with, their experience, their verifiable external experience is described in a way which is undeniable. So you're listening to the sound of my voice. And you're going through this audio series, and you're thinking those thoughts that you're thinking. Notice that everything that I just said was undeniable. You're listening to the sound of my voice. Yeah, that's undeniable. And you're going through this audio series. That's undeniable as well. And you are thinking those thoughts that you're thinking. That's pacing current experience. That's the basis of what they call a yes set in sales. That's where internally the person's going, yes, yes, yes. At that point, what you could do is throw out something that's plausible, and it's almost like they're on a train track. So they're going, yes, 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 and they accept the plausible thing that you throw out at that point simply because they're on that pattern of yes. So you're listening to the sound of my voice, and you've been going through this audio series now for however many days you've been going through it, and you're thinking certain thoughts about it, and that means that you're going to make changes in your life that are far beyond your own expectations. Doesn't mean that necessarily at all. Certainly, if it's at all in my power, you will. But that's an example of pacing current experience and then linking it to where you want the person to go.